This morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. We'll read verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it for one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, and the righteous into eternal life. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So a little bit of a peek behind the curtain, as it were. We know that we've been following along in the lectionary. This is the end of year A. Advent starts a new lectionary year. So this is the final week of the year in the liturgical calendar. And we follow the lectionary because it gives us an opportunity to follow along in the Gospels. We've been reading through Matthew for quite some time. I don't know if you're as tired of hearing from Matthew as I am, but I'm glad we're moving on. But we've been following along in Matthew, and sometimes when we get the lectionary passage, and I send it to Emily to put in the bulletin, and I sit down on Monday morning, and what I do is I read the scripture, just the passage. Don't read anything around it. I want to hear it kind of like you guys are going to hear it on Sunday morning, just the passage. And usually one of a couple of things will happen. Usually what happens is I read the scripture. I'm like, I don't know any of like what we're going to do with that. On the first read, there's no ideas or outline to follow along in the sermon. I got to do a lot more study and research and that sort of thing. Other times, I read it, and I was like, ooh, I know what I'm going to preach on. I know the direction I want to take. Then other times, very rarely, like with this passage, I read it, and I think to myself, what else could I possibly say? The scripture is quite clear, and this is one of those scriptures. Sometimes it happens a lot on Easter. We read the Easter story of Jesus' resurrection, like, what am I supposed to add? This is the most amazing story of the Son of Christ being resurrected from the dead. If I start speaking, I'm going to get in the way. This is a passage that I feel that way about. But I'm going to say some words anyways and hopefully not muddle it all up for everybody. We've read these two chapters in Matthew the past couple of weeks. This is Jesus' sermon on the Mount of Olives, just with his followers. Jesus is preparing them for what's going to take place soon. The plot to kill Jesus comes up. Jesus' betrayal, his final supper, his last supper, his death and crucifixion, and then finally his resurrection. Matthew ends with Jesus telling his disciples to go and make disciples of everyone, and then he goes off into heaven with the promise that he will come back. Chapters 24 and 25 in Matthew are Jesus telling his disciples what to expect, how they are to conduct themselves, how to live faithfully, knowing that he's resurrected, knowing that the world has changed fundamentally, but also having to wait for that final kingdom of heaven to come on earth when Jesus returns. It's this odd place that we find ourselves in. And Jesus goes through parable after parable, helping to the disciples to understand what it's going to be like to wait. And finally, at the very end of that Sermon on the Mount of Olives, Jesus gives his disciples this image of what it'll be like when he returns. He's already told these parables about using our talents, sharing and being helpful and patient, but also ready for his return. And then Jesus gives us this vivid image. Now, this image of the Son of Man coming and sitting on the throne and judging the nations, this is not a new idea that Jesus has come up with. Jesus is a good Jewish fellow. We've talked about that before. And in his faith, the prophet Daniel sets an even more vivid image of the judgment of the nations and the chariot that the Son of Man sits on and all that. If it's in Daniel chapter 7, it'll be right in the middle of your Bible if you want to have some nice light reading this evening. It's not light, I'm sorry. Very vivid imagery that Daniel portrays, and Jesus leans into it, and we've got this image of all the nations being gathered and then being separated. Now, we talked in Sunday school about our biases, okay? The example I used was as a Gator fan, sometimes I'll see penalties called on the Gators, and I think they're absolutely wrong because there's no way that my players would do that. Pass interference, the one yesterday, the late hit on the quarterback sliding, I thought they were not late hits. They happened right as he started to slide. And everybody said, no, that's your Gator bias. That was definitely a late hit. I said, okay. All right, fine. We all have these biases, right? That's the easy one, right? When we're watching, I know I'm in Kentucky, basketball. The difference between blocking and a charge is what color jersey he's wearing, right? You understand, right? We have these biases. My bias as a follower of Christ and my beliefs is that I want us to hold every single person close to the heart of God. I want us to help each and every person that we meet. I feel like passages like this and my experiences throughout my life lead me to believe that each and every person is special. Each and every person is a child of God. But as I was studying this passage, I had to check my bias. Because there's some words in here that make me question whether or not that's what this passage is telling us to do. Caring for all people at all times. You've heard the story. The sheep and the goats are separated out. The Lord, the Son of Man, looks to the righteous and says, thank you for caring for me in all this long list of ways. And they say, well, when did we do that? When did we care for you in this whole long list of ways? And he says, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Members of my family. Jesus, in the Gospel of Matthew, speaks a lot about who his family is. And it's those who believe in him. And so as I read through this, I've got to ask myself, are we only called to care for our fellow believers? I don't think so. I think that is another passage, another interpretation that makes it too easy for me. Because it's easy for me to only love you guys. It's easy for me to only care for my fellow believers and the other people that are upholding their faith. But I've got to turn it around and make sure that I'm not trying to take the easy way out and only care for my fellow Christians. The Son of Man, Jesus says, sits on the throne judging us all on how we treat others. Now, sometimes when we treat people poorly, it comes back to bite us quite clearly and vividly and quickly. I'll tell you a story from camp. It's in middle school, and the gentleman in my cabin, the other boys, got to pranking one another. And I thought, well, I know a good prank. I'll get in on this. And so I took my tube of toothpaste, and I squirted a little bit out on the toilet seat. I said, this will be great. Somebody will sit down and get some toilet paper on their, some toothpaste on their behind, and they'll woo, scream and holler. It'll be hilarious. And I got somebody. I got him real good. But it wasn't very hilarious, because it was me. I pranked myself. I really did. It was later on in the afternoon. I had forgotten about it. We had Sloppy Joe's for lunch. I was in a hurry. I don't know. And I sat down right on the toilet seat with the toothpaste. At a minty fresh behind. Sometimes when we treat strangers ill, when we treat others in ways that are negative, it comes back and gets us very vividly and very clearly. In those examples, it's easy to recognize the ways that we've fallen short of what Christ would have us to do. But all this list here that these goats are judged for, you'll recognize they're not actions either, are they? The goats aren't treating strangers poorly. Their sins, the sins of these goats, are their lack of actions. The sheep are praised for what they do, how they care for the strangers and the least of these. The goats aren't punished for what they do. They're held accountable for what they do not do. And the difference between these sheeps and these goats are the ways in which they see the stranger. See, this passage isn't some moral, social imperative that we care for one another. Anybody can tell you that if we have less hungry people, our society would be a better place. You can find that down at the other social clubs. Our faith in Christ, our faith in God, demands, as the Son of Man in this passage tells us, to view each and every stranger and each and every person as Christ himself. I feel like that's one of the things I say over and over again in my prayers. Help us to view others the way that you view them. Help us to see you in the face of everyone that we meet. These sheep are able to do that. They see Christ in the hungry. They see Christ in the thirsty and the naked and the sick and the imprisoned, and because they want to help Christ, they help those strangers. Now, this is another point that I think it's important to pause, because it's easy if we are able to make this switch and see Christ in each stranger, it would get really overwhelming really fast. And I want to be honest about that. If we saw every single person as Christ and felt so compelled to do something about it, it would wear us out each and every day. Jesus told his disciples, "You'll always have the poor." And we do. If we try to stop and help each and every person, we'll run ourselves ragged. We'll run out of resources for ourselves. And there'll still be people that need help. And so I think This passage does not call us to simply stop and help every single person that we come across, but to also find ways as a community of faith to share and pool our resources to do that. Not a single person in here would have been able to create 37 backpacks to send to the schools this past week. But as a community of faith, as a group, we're able to do that. Not a single one of us will be able to visit every person in the hospital or in prison or in the nursing homes. Individuals aren't capable of doing that so broadly. But we come together as a group. We share our resources. We share our time, our money. And we're able to have this broader effect. And so to keep in mind from this passage, the things we should hold close to our hearts. We are expected to help people. If the passage has one lesson, it's that we will be judged for how we treat people. Not necessarily for the things that we do that are wicked, but the things that we don't do. We are called to see Christ in the face of each and every person around us. And we're called to help. We don't have to do it as individuals. We can come together as a community of faith, to share what we have, to lift up one another. And hopefully, when the time comes, we'll find ourselves with a nice woolly coat, and the Son of Man will look upon us as sheep and not as goats, because we helped Christ when we helped others. Amen.